You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
If you take your Bibles, please, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Let's pray before we get started. Our Father, we just heard such a great song, a song that really should challenge us. God, the only hope we have in this country, we don't say that in a negative way, but it's true. The only hope we have is you. We need you. We need you. We need our dear people of this church, God, to rise up and be the soldiers of Jesus Christ that we're supposed to be. We can't fix the whole world until we fix what's going on in our own hearts and lives. And I pray today, God, that you'd just work on us. I pray that you'd go to work on our hearts this morning, Lord, about doing our part, what we can, to be the good soldier that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'd like you to look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I appreciate that song from Brother Delgado. I appreciate the service. And again, those of you that have served in the armed forces are serving. Again, thank you so much, and we are in such a great debt to you. Today, there's not much that gets me fired up more than seeing people burn an American flag or seeing people disrespect veterans. That's just something that, as an American, as a Christian, we ought not to tolerate that sort of thing. But I'm so thankful for our church, and I'm thankful that we have a lot of people that are serving or have served in the armed forces. I'd like to talk to you, though, as if you're like me. I did not have the privilege to serve in the armed forces. I went straight from high school into a Bible college. I thought growing up I would. I thought for most of my life growing up that I'd be in the armed forces. I thought that's where I was just going to head. But as a senior in high school, God did a work in me. He got a hold of my heart, and he showed me he wanted me to be a different kind of soldier. And I think we'll see here in just a moment that he has called all of us to be a soldier, whether or not you have served in the armed forces. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'd like you to look down at verse number 1, please. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Notice these next two verses, please, if you would. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth..." Now let's stop for a second and realize that there is a war. There's a battle going on. And it's not between the Democrats and Republicans, okay? Although it seems to be there is a war between them too as well. But there is a war going on between good and evil, right? Righteousness and unrighteousness, you know, the children of light and the children of darkness, you know, the devil and God. "But no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I'd like to talk to you, preach to you for a couple minutes this morning on a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because that's the phrase that it says in verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. My son is 9 years old, Titus. And I have been noticing as he grows up that, I have all these things I want to teach him, right? I want to teach him how to change the brakes on a car. I want to teach him, and of course, when you fix something on a car, how to bleed and how to get hurt, because that seems to be what comes along with fixing a car, you know. And I've been wanting to teach him things like that, you know, how to tie certain kind of knots and whatever you can think of that, you know, might be a manly thing for a little guy to learn. I want to teach him those things. And so I've been kind of trying to figure out, how am I going to do that? And also, to be quite frank with you, I want to toughen him up. And I don't want to raise a milquetoast little boy. I want to raise a young boy who's going to grow up and be a young man, and who's going to be a man, and who's not going to be afraid to stand on something biblically. He's not going to be afraid, even if no one else likes it. I want him to be able to say, this is what God says, thus saith the Lord. It doesn't matter what you say. And so I'm trying to teach him how to, you know, how to toughen up a little bit, how to be strong and stuff. I remember I tell my kids like the horror stories, but my dad told me the horror stories of when he was growing up, you know. But I told my kids, I said, I don't get this business of I feel sick, so I'm going to stay home from school. You know, and my kids are like, you know, I feel a little sick. And we have in our school some people, some kids will be like, I feel sick. I'm going to stay home. That never would have worked. How many of you had the dad or the mom that was like, you can throw up, but you're still going to school? Is anybody? Thank you. I literally did this. I threw up. I was sick as like a third grader. I'm throwing up. My mom's like, now don't you feel better? Get in the car. Okay, I'll walk. You know, and so, and I think there's something to be said about toughness, about just sticking through the hard things of life. Look, life's only going to get tougher for this kid. He's 9 years old. And so he's got to learn how to take the bumps and bruises. And so I was thinking, what can we do? My wife and I were talking, how can we start training this into our kids? And so my three-year-old, we enlisted him in a marathon. He's in a marathon now. And no, I'm kidding, he's not. But so with Titus, what we did was I came up with this thing called the Spartan Challenge. And I know there's something out there where you can like do runs. I don't know if it's a Trojan Challenge or what, but I figured Spartan Challenge because of the Battle of Thermopylae, where there was about 7,000 Greeks and they held off a huge army of like 100,000 or something, you know. And I read this story years ago. And so I said, hey, we're going to be tough like these guys, you know. And so we came up with our regimen. We're going to do push-ups and sit-ups. We're going to, you know, I gave them certain goals. You have to be able to shoot a basketball from this far away, how to throw a football from this far away, and how to do these things. And we're going to run this far. We're going to do this many push-ups. I even got them weights. Now, I know about, you know, I know certain restrictions because of growth plates and stuff with kids. They can't be, you know, bench pressing like 400 pounds and stuff, you know. But we have little dumbbells. I have these adjustable Bowflex dumbbells, and they go from like 5 pounds up to like 52.5. And so I got them on the 5 pound setting, and I've got my 9-year-old son, you know, out there pumping 5 pounds, you know, and this sort of thing. And I tell you, he has responded to this, and he has now got some of your kids in headlocks at school and stuff. That. Kidding. I told him, I said, we're going to go on YouTube and we're going to learn karate from YouTube. We're going to learn wrestling and we're going to learn it from YouTube and all this stuff, you know. But what I was doing was I was trying to take something that I thought would be a good example of like something he'd be like, yeah, I want to be like that, be tough like that, and use it as an example to show him, hey, to bolster that courage to be the man that he can be. Well, I tell you that to show you that that's kind of exactly what Paul was doing in this passage. Timothy was a young pastor who was scared. Say, show me that. I can show you several times where Paul said, for God hath not given thee the spirit of fear, where he said, be strong, where he said, you know, in Corinthians, he told the Corinthians, quit ye like men. But even with Timothy, he told him a couple other times, you know, to fight the good fight of faith, to endure hardness and many things like that as well, telling Timothy, have some courage to stand and do what you're supposed to do. And in this passage of Scripture, if you read through chapter 2 here, you'll see several different methods that Paul used to encourage and motivate Timothy. But really, the kind of the theme behind it when I read it is Timothy, man up. You know, Timothy, you know, you've got to just gird up and decide you're going to fight the battle. And look, in several chapters here, in several verses, he uses a picture of a farmer. And he says, hey, you know, being a good farmer, he uses the picture of an athlete. He uses the picture of a manager or a steward. He uses the picture of a workman. He uses the picture of a soldier. Now, neither Paul nor Timothy were soldiers that we know of, but certainly they could identify with what a soldier represents. And I think all of us here today, whether you are a soldier or not, we can identify with what a soldier represents. I think a soldier represents toughness. I think they represent endurance, strength, honor, duty, things like that. And those are kind of the things that I think Paul was saying, Timothy, I want you to get a hold of this, and I want you to be strong. In fact, in verse 1, thou therefore my son, chapter 2, verse 1, be strong in the grace. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. Verse 4, no man that warreth So he's saying, hey, there's war, there's hardness, there's something you have to be strong to overcome. So as Paul has challenged Timothy to be a good soldier, I think the call doesn't just end there. I think the call goes out to all of us as well, to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, to be a good soldier, to follow suit in that. You say, well, Pastor, I did not sign up for this. It doesn't matter. You were drafted. It's conscription. You're in, whether you like it or not. The moment you trusted Christ as Savior, you entered the battlefield. And there's war going on. And I tell you what, you know that phrase, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. And if you have not realized that life is a fight between trying to do what's right and trying not to do what's wrong, then open up your eyes and wake up, because it is a battle everywhere. Especially if you're trying to be a Christian in this world. There's a huge fight about that sort of thing. I want to show you a couple things here right from this passage of Scripture. How are we like these Christian soldiers? What is this? How does this apply to us today? And a couple things and we'll be done. I want you to see, first of all, as Christian soldiers, we have a king to serve. We have a king to serve. Would you take your Bible, and you don't have to go far. We're going to come right back here. Go back to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, the book right before, chapter 1. 1 Timothy in chapter number 1. The Bible said a moment ago in chapter 2, verse 3 of 2 Timothy, it says to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We are Christ's soldiers. He's in charge. But now look at 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 17. 1 Timothy 1, 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I want to make mention of this real quick here, that God is not our president. Okay? Let me make the distinction there. God is our king. He's not a president. He's not a monarch. He is a deity. He is the deity. God needs no Congress. God needs no board of advisors. God doesn't need someone looking over his shoulder. God doesn't need someone checking up on him. God doesn't need checks and balances. God doesn't need counselors. God doesn't need someone saying, hey, say this and don't say that, and do this and don't do that. You know why? Because he's not the president. He is the King of Kings, and that's who we serve today. Not a president, but the King. And I want to encourage you that, hey, we have a king to serve. It's not about serving ourselves. It's about serving God. It's not about serving a president. It's about serving God. Our God is King. He is high. He is holy. He is lifted up. He is separate from sinners. And we serve a risen Savior who is in the world today, and he just happens to be the King. I remember when God called me to be part of that army of his, to serve him. I was in high school. I had a lot of my own plans of what I was going to do. But I think God had completely, completely different plans for me. And you know what? I'll tell you what. When I really heard the voice of God, and not audibly like some spooky thing, like I ate too much mushrooms on my pizza and I heard a voice, all right? But when I heard God speak into my heart as a teenager, and I had a man stand up at teen camp and preach the Bible and say, who will go to America? Who will go and make a difference? And the theme of the youth camp that year was, will you be the one? Will you be the one to go? Even if no one else goes from your youth department, even if no one else goes from your family, even if no one else goes from your church, will you be the one to go? And you know what? I sat there and I felt like God put his finger right on my heart and said, I'm talking to you. I wasn't the only one to sign up that day. But I tell you what, when the king told me to do something, I said, yes, sir. Can I ask you this morning, is the king asking you to do something? You better say yes, sir. You better do what he tells you to do. I find if you go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 in our text that we're looking at, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, I find it so interesting in verse 4 that the Bible says there that chapter 2 verse 4 of 2 Timothy, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. God has hand-selected you for something. That's amazing to me, to think that God would handpick me to do something. How can we say anything but, sir, yes, sir? Your king wants you. your king chooses you and he has selected you to do something for him, are you going to say yes? Or will you be found in dereliction of duty? We have a king to serve. I want to say secondly here, we have a commission to keep. Would you look at chapter 2 where you're at, verse 2? We have a commission to keep as well. The Bible says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, what's that commission? Well, I think we know it, but because we're at the Sunday morning crowd, I'm not sure how familiar we are with scriptures at some point. Some folks are very new to our church. I'd like you to hold your place here and go back to Matthew chapter 28. And let's look at this commission that God has given. Now, Paul says this. So we're going to Matthew 28. But Paul said, hey, God gave me something, and I've given it to you, and now you take that and pass it on to someone else. What was given to him? I'm going to show you what was given to him. The commission was given. I love it that our king has given us a mission. It's actually a commission, and it's not a great commission, it's the great commission, the greatest commission. If you look at Matthew 28, verse number 18, and Jesus, that's the authority, came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore, here's the commission, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So he's saying, hey, I've given you a commission. I have been to this earth. I've lived here. God has given me all power. I am with you. Now go, teach all nations, baptize them, and teach them to observe and do what I told them to do. That's our commission. Now listen, if you're a Christian in here today, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. First of all, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, do that today. But secondly, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that means you have been given the commission. You have been given the task. It's not, you look up here and you see me, you can't look at me and say, well, it's pastor's task, it's Brother Weldon's task, it's Brother Cole's task, it's my neighbor's task. No, it's your task. You have been given a job. You have been given a commission. You have been given something that God wants you to do, a mission, so to speak. Now listen, our job is not to kill Satan. All right? You know, no one is SEAL Team 6 in here with a Bible tracking down where Satan is in the world today. And I'm going to go kill him. No, our job is not to kill Satan. Our job is to convert sinners. That's our job. Our job is to go out and say, hey, everybody, I want to tell you about some good news. Here's some good news. Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ loved you enough to die on the cross for your sins, and that you can go to heaven forever if you'll just accept him. I knocked on a door yesterday, first door I knocked on, and a lady came to the door, and I asked her, you know, we talked for a little bit. I said, if you died today, would you know for sure you're going to heaven? And she said, you know, I think I would. I'm a pretty good person. I said, ma'am, her name was Nancy. I said, you know, I said, if I could show you, the Bible says four things how you can know that you're going to heaven. Would that be worth hearing? She said, yes, I want to hear that. And I was like, well, wonderful. You know, can I show you? And she said, I'm leaving right now. And I thought to myself, oh, you know, this is such a life and death thing. Now, am I going back? Of course I'm going back. I'm not going to be like, well, hope to see you in heaven someday. Read that track. No, I'm going back, all right? But I was thinking about just the commission that God has given me. My job was not to just keep knocking on her door and say, no, you're going to accept this. And no, you take this track, and I'm going to make you eat it if you don't want. You know, that's not our job. Our job is to do everything we can to just tell them. They have to accept it. Some of you got unsaved family members, and you've got people that God has been working on you about, and you know God's working on you about, and you know that if they died right now, they would split hell wide open because they've never had someone witness to them, and you're thinking, well, what if I offend them? Listen, they're already on their way to hell. You can't make it worse for them. You can't send them to the second hell if you accidentally tell them the wrong verse. No, and your job is not to make them accept it. Your job is just to tell them. Let's do what our king tells us to do. We have our orders, and they're not changing. God hasn't changed his mind in the last 2,000 years. My dad was the type of guy that if he told you one time, that's all he needed to tell you. Was one time. We had a big yard where we lived, and my dad had a riding lawnmower, John Deere. You know, we lived right down the road from Moline, which is where John Deere started. And so you have to have a John Deere. You know, nothing runs like a deer. All right. Well, except for me when my dad chased me. But anyway, my dad would walk in the house and say, I'm about to mow the lawn. Get out there and pick up the sticks in the yard. Because we had trees and big limbs would fall. And he would just tell you the one time. And if you did not get out there and pick up the sticks, by the time he came around with that mower, and you just come in this way and you see the stick, you're ready to dive in front of the mower to get the stick because that stick may be used as a weapon against you if you did not pick up the stick. But he told you one time. He didn't need to tell you again. I think about when God tells us something one time, he doesn't need to tell us again. Now, he did in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he sent forth the people and said, hey, go out into Judea and Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. He's told us many times. We have a king to serve, folks. We have a commission to keep. But I want to say, thirdly, we have challenges to overcome, too. Would you go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, right back to our text, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We have challenges to overcome. Would you notice in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'll hasten with the last few points here, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, right back where we were, verse 3. The Bible says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. No man that warreth. So there's hardness. So there's a warning here. Timothy, soldier of Jesus Christ, hardness is coming. I want you to look across the page at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 12. Listen again what Paul tells Timothy. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. See, we don't want that. We don't want to take a stand for God because we don't want people to think we're actually a Christian. We don't want to take a stand in this world in which we live in, and we're afraid to say what we believe in the culture that we live, because people may tweet about us. People may call us names. People may say, well, you're this, and you're just that, and you're just hateful, and you're intolerant. Listen, I'm all for kindness, but there is nothing in this world that's going to make me tolerate sin in my own life. Now look, this is a free country. You go live and do whichever you want to do and live how you want to live, but don't tell me how to live. God's telling me that, and I'm going to obey him, but there's challenges to overcome. There's persecution. There's hardness, and I love it that Paul did not mince words there. He didn't tell fearful Timothy that, hey, Timothy, everything's going to be a bed of roses. You're going to have no problems. Listen, anybody stepping into the ministry, if you think there's going to be no problems, just don't go in the ministry, okay? There are going to be problems. There's challenges to overcome. There's trials. There's persecution. That's why he said, be strong. My dad was in the Navy. I thought I'd have a couple amens on that, Navy men. Okay, all right. But my dad was in the Navy for 4 years. And while he was in the Navy, he just kind of nonchalantly told me a story about how he got his toe chopped off. I was like, what? He's like, oh, yeah, I didn't tell you about that. What are you talking about? You know? Yeah, my toe got chopped off. It was hanging on by a little thread. Yeah, my foot was here, my toe was over there. But it was still connected by something. I don't know what it was. How? How did this happen to you? What did you do? Well, you know, I just held it, kept it there, and wrapped it up, and you know, I went back and they just sewed it back on. It gets cold all the time now. Good night. I told my kids this story recently as a bedtime story, you know. Literally, it was. And they're just staring at me like, what? And I said, yeah, you didn't know that Papa's toe got chopped off? No, he didn't know. I said, ask him about it next time. He's always rubbing it, complaining about how cold it is, you know. It's the only thing on my dad that's ever been cold in his life is that big toe. But, you know, he tells me these stories about just hardship that came after hardship after hardship, and he just got through it. I think, you know, so many people nowadays just quit at the drop of a hat. We have to realize there's going to be challenges. But listen, if you get out and say, I'm not doing this church thing anymore. I'm not serving God anymore. There's going to be challenges that way too. It's going to be so much worse though. Quickly this morning, we have a king to serve. We have a commission to keep. We have challenges to overcome. But I see also we have a choice to make. Look at chapter 2 again, if you would. Chapter 2, we have a choice to make. The Bible says in verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Why? Why should we not entangle ourselves with the problems and sins of this world? Here it is. that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So listen, the choice that we have to make is, are we going to choose this world or are we going to choose Jesus? Are we going to choose to please ourselves or are we going to choose to please Christ? That's the choice to make. Our goal is to please him who has called us to be soldiers. If we're going to please him, we cannot be weighed down with the things of this world. 2 years ago, we went to Big Bear, and Silas was one at the time. I think he weighed more then than he does now. He was a stout, portly little baby, and a one-year-old baby. And so we were going to go on a hike, right? Big Bear, you're already up like 8,000 feet, and we're going to go on a hike. My mom and dad were out right before I came pastor, actually. And so, we're going to go on this hike up in Big Bear. Has you ever done it before? No, we had not done it before, but we thought it'd be easy, right? And so we get up there, and then I've got this little container that goes over my chest here to hold this huge, fat baby. And can I say it did not hold him all? He was sticking out in all kinds of places on this thing. But I thought, hey, I'm strong, I'm young, I can get up here and do this. Halfway up that mountain, I regretted my decision. I was switching that baby to my back and tugging him like a 50-pound backpack up the mountain, you know, like I was climbing Everest or something. We got up there and the family was like, let's go a little bit further. I was like, no. If we're going further, either this baby stays here till we get back, ain't nothing carrying this kid off, I'll tell you right now, or someone else is carrying him. Like, mom, take this baby, you know. I didn't want to do that to my mom, who turned 60 today, by the way. But I did not want to do that to her. But I regretted that. But I just could not go on any further. Why? I was weighted down by something. Hebrews 12:1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We've got to lay some things aside if we're going to be a good soldier. We have a choice to make. We're going to please God, we're going to please ourselves. Lastly, this morning, I said, and I'll just mention this and we're done. We have a king to serve. We have a commission to keep. We have challenges to overcome. We have a choice to make, but lastly, we have a crown to win too. Would you look back at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and notice the next verse that we did not read, verse 5. Verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. We have a crown to win. You know, the sad thing about many of our soldiers is that many of them do not live to see their greatest accomplishments or achievements pinned to their chest or that medal around their neck. Many times they're in a coffin or that gift is handed to a family member to recognize their sacrifice. Purple Heart, Silver Star, Medal of Honor, things like that. For Christians, our reward is not in this life either. Our reward is in the next life. Now, I will tell you this, it pays to serve Jesus right now. Amen. Does it ever pay to serve Jesus right now? But I tell you, the greater rewards await in the next life. That's where we're laying up treasures. But you don't get the crown if you don't follow the rules. I want to encourage you this morning. We have a king to serve. He is worthy of it. He's not tweeting out stuff that makes you want to go crazy. Okay? He is God of the universe. He is the one that has given us commission to keep. He gave us a job to do. Yes, there will be challenges to overcome, but we have him on our side. We have a choice to make. Am I going to serve him? Am I going to please him? Am I going to do what he said to do? Am I going to please myself? And we have a crown to win too, if we decide to please him and serve him. And I wonder this morning, are you being a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Are you serving your master? Do you need to re-enlist this morning and say, God, I have not been the soldier that I need to be, but I'm re-enlisting. Are you in the Lord's army at all? Are you even saved today? Some questions I'd like you to think about. Father, I thank you so much that you've chosen us to be soldiers. It's a privilege to serve on the winning side. Battle's already won, Lord. Help us to continue to live each and every day in that victory. I pray that if there's somebody here today who's not sure that heaven is their home, I pray that today would be the day that they accept you as their Savior. I pray for some, Lord, who've maybe They haven't been fighting the good fight of faith. They haven't been in the battle like they're supposed to. They haven't been the soldier that they're supposed to be. They haven't been obeying the commission. They haven't been listening to your commands that you've been given. God, help us today to re-enlist in the fight. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand together, please, if you would. The altar is open. Would you come this morning? If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, why don't you get a moving right now and come down here and let us take the Bible and show you how you could be saved. If you're here this morning and you just need to come spend some time in prayer, you know God is working on your heart about a loved one. You know God is working on your heart about getting back in the fight. You know God's working on your heart about something else. Why don't you come give that to God this morning? Why don't you come give that to Him?